Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
What's that critter over there behind that hemlock tree?
That's a weird looking thing, isn't it? All what different colors in his neck and everything. What is it? Oh, my God. That's a turkey, Paul.
What?
There's a turkey in here. How'd they get in here? And for God's sake.
Oh, turkey season in full swing, Bob.
It certainly is. Yeah. They're everywhere, though. You know?
And I'm feeling better, so I'm going to go turkey hunting tomorrow. I greased up my turkey gun. I'm going to do it tomorrow.
All right.
And it'll be all over by 10 o'clock, I hope. Yep. Anyway, welcome to the Maine Outdoors. We're proud to have you aboard, as we are every week. And you know, we're a talk show. That's a call-in show, and we always welcome you to be part of our program. And we have a toll-free statewide number. Excuse me. And if you'd like to call that number, what's the number, Bob?
1-800-966-1039. Dial whole number, even if you're local. 1-800-966-1039.
All right. And we have a great guest tonight. He's going to talk to us by phone, and I'll introduce him in excuse me, just a second. Our guest will be, I can tell you, give you a hint. He's a turkey. He's recognized in New England as a turkey expert, and he may not like me calling him an expert, but he is, and we'll be talking to him, and I'll tell you who he is in just a minute. First, the crew that make the show possible week after week, the mustached guy in there behind the toggle switches. He is the Bob calls him the scourge, but I call him the sweetheart of Grand Lake Stream. Take a bow, Norman Plord.
Good evening, everybody, and how you like the sky is falling.
Yeah, the sky is falling.
Yeah. Rain.
Yeah, raining.
Yeah.
Maybe a few days we'll get a little 70 degrees. That would be nice to see, wouldn't it?
Well, it's actually going to work well for my raspberries because I fertilize them, and a little bit of rain would help to draw that in there.
Oh, yeah.
A bit.
I didn't realize you do have raspberries.
I do.
Yeah, it's my favorite fruit. And my co-host is a master Maine guide. He's written a lot of great books on fishing. He knows his way around a fishing rod and a trout pond. His name is Bob Lehman.
Thank you very much, Paul. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you here, sir.
Yeah.
And our guest tonight is, he writes a column for the Northwood Sporting Journal called South of the Kennebec. And he is recognized throughout New England as a fellow who is deeply involved in turkey restoration. Originally, he's from Vermont. He was a game warden in Vermont, worked his way back to Maine, and he was very active in the... when Maine first brought turkeys back into the state. He was very involved in that.
Yeah.
And he writes a great column for the Sporting Journal. His name is Stu Bristol. And we'll have...
Oh, I've heard that name somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He knows his way around turkey woods. He'll be with us at 7:30 to talk a little bit about, to give you some hints, some tips and tactics for finding that turkey. By the way, he bagged a beautiful 22-pound tom with an 11-inch beard yesterday.
I think.
Yeah.
That's a bird to see.
Boy.
Yeah. It was a nice
beauty.
Nice bird.
Might be a little tough to chew, but other than that...
Yeah, they can be a little dry.
That's what they make pressure cookers for.
Pressure cookers are designed for that, you bet. So we'll be talking to Stu here shortly. And let's see, a couple other things I want to remind you. Again, this program is sponsored every week by the Northwood Sporting Journal, my favorite outdoor publication. You're listening to us on the Voice of Maine News Talk Network, which is 101.3 and 103.9 in Bangor. And, of course, we're streaming worldwide, Bob, right?
We certainly are, and that's something. And all the ships at sea as well, you know.
That's right. And we like to say hi to a couple of streamers who are listening probably tonight. Tony down in Chicopee, Mass.
Tony. And I want to throw in there Paul and Jesse.
Paul and Jesse.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
They're going to new listeners.
Yeah. And Eric Warren out there in Ohio.
Oh, Eric, yeah. I got to be in touch with him, you know what?
He's probably tuned in.
He's always tuned in.
So, anyway, you can listen to us worldwide. We're streaming, and of course, if you'd like to listen to one of our programs from the past, you can do so by going to the WVOM website and click on Maine Outdoors, and you can listen to the shows that go back, about a year or so, right?
I believe so.
More,
yes.
Yeah. So anyway, check it out, and again, the Northwood Sporting Journal sponsors this show in part, and if you'd like to pick up a copy of the newsstand, you can do so. This week, the May issue will hit the streets. There's a big turkey on the cover, and you can pick up a copy, or if you'd rather have a subscription, you can do that and save yourself a couple of bucks.
Certainly can.
And the number to call at the office during the week is 732-4880. Give Alicia a buzz, and she'd be glad to sell you a subscription to the Northwood Sporting Journal. Okay, a couple of things on Outdoor Digest, Bob. We want to congratulate a number of game wardens were honored yesterday, and I meant to bring in their names, and I left them on my editing desk and forgot to bring them in. We want to congratulate a lot of game wardens were named Warden of the Year.
Yeah.
A warden pilot who I used to work with when I was with IF&W was named Warden of the Decade or something like that.
He was a
warden pilot named Roger Wolverton.
Congratulate him. I knew him.
Did you know Roger?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's a good man.
Oh, he certainly was.
Yep.
He's a treasure, a legend.
He's getting on in his years like us, too.
Oh, aren't we all?
And they recognized the services that he provided for the warden service.
Yes.
And we'd like to also congratulate the legendary Maine Guide of the Year, a man from Mahoosuc, I think, Guide Service, up in Newry. You know where Newry is?
Yes, up northwestern Maine.
Yes, it is.
By Rangeley area.
Right against the border.
Yes,
right over there.
You're absolutely correct.
Yep. Yeah. Over near Bethel, in that area.
Yeah, up in the mountains. Yep.
Not too far from Mambogog.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Kevin Slater is his name, and he was named Guide of the Year. I contacted Kevin, invited him to be on the show, and he says, I'd love to, Paul, but I'm just too darn busy guiding. So he's going to maybe later in June, he might join us.
Yeah, well, he's probably guiding turkeys now, wouldn't he be?
Could be.
Yeah, probably.
Could be. Anyway, this was named after our old friend and the former co-host of this program, Wiggy Robinson.
Well, there you are.
That award has been named after him in what's been, how many, I think 10 or 12 years now, they've had a legendary guide every year.
Yes, that's Newry's, great. That's fine, yeah.
Newry is a nice area. My sister lived there. In fact, I guided my brother on a turkey hunt, got a turkey down there.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Yeah, nice area.
Yeah, that's nice country.
It is.
Yeah. Anyway, congratulations to Kevin, an honor well-deserved. And you can read about it in the Northwood Sporting Journal if you want to read more details about the award. And want to remind you, too, don't forget about the Moose Lottery application. Now, if you have a will to get a hunting permit for a Maine moose, and who doesn't, right?
Okay.
I mean, if you like to eat good protein, that's the way to go. Anyway, you have until May 15th at midnight. And if you dither, you'll be out of luck after midnight on May 15th. So don't dither.
Got 10 days.
Is that 10 days?
I think today's the 5th, correct.
So don't put it off. If you're in the market for a moose permit, get it done, get it over with, and then the deadline won't catch you. Maine moose permits are available online. It's easy to do. I've filled mine out, and we're waiting with our fingers crossed, and I've got 5 bonus permits, so I'm a sure thing, right?
I would think so.
You think so, wouldn't you?
Better than if you didn't have any.
Yeah, you're right. Anyway, we're hoping it'll work for the good. Now, I guess at this time...
Died. Did she get a permit?
She's applied. She's applied, yep.
Yep, okay.
Yep. And Scotty applied, Josh applied.
From heaven, Josh. The whole
dang family applied.
Somebody ought to get one.
Yep, so we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. We better bring in the band, right?
Yeah.
And you work for me.
Yeah.
This is
now get that bird out of here.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
What's going on in the fishing world?
Well, I tell you, fishing's been slow, but the weather has been right against the fishing as far as lake fishing goes.
Wind
and rain and cold.
Oh, this seems like the slowest oncoming of spring I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Is it me or is it my age?
Well, actually, spring came early.
It did.
Yes, it did. But when was it? You know, I don't know.
I know, but the ice went out early.
We had one storm there, you know, a snowstorm, and that rained off.
Yeah.
And actually, spring came real early. All the lakes went out early.
Yeah.
Some have set records.
And you would have thought, because the lakes went out 3 weeks early, that spring would have come early, but it didn't.
But it didn't, no.
No.
And it's still miserable.
Yeah, nature can be cruel.
I guess this coming week's supposed to be pretty good.
I hope so.
But let's talk a little bit about, I've kind of neglected Grand Lake Stream lately. I'd like to talk a little bit about Grand Lake Stream.
Okay.
Now, here's a little fact that might set you back a little bit. Do you know how much water they're running at Grand Lake Stream over the dam right now? Take a guess.
1,200.
No, not that much.
800.
500.
Well, you're right in the middle there. I need
650.
Six fifty. You win. 679.
Wow.
679 GPS is running through the dam right now, and that's a lot of water. That's a lot of water.
Wow, that is.
So, you know, we've had a lot of rain and everything's soaked, you know, so it's going down through. And
do you have any solid information? Are anybody catching fish on Grand Lake Stream right now?
No.
They're not?
No, not according to Greg Beer, the biologist.
Yeah.
We talked to him here a couple of weeks ago, and I talked to him recently, and he said the fishing down there has been rotten.
Has it really?
Rotten.
Yeah.
Well, the water, so much water. We were talking earlier about how much water they've had, and it's been up to 1,200 or more.
Wow.
Well, it was actually—
then all the gates open. And
just shy of 2,000 at one point.
2,000? Can you imagine, Paul?
Yeah.
No wonder they don't get water into the hatchery at that, you know, at that level. It's unbelievable.
Great for waiting, huh?
If you want to stand way back.
If you want to go downstream.
Yeah, fast. Fast downstream.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you got woolly buggers coming up here on the 19th, 20th, and 21st, which is, only a couple of weeks away right now. And we hope the water goes down somewhere near normal, so for them, and I think it will. If we start getting some good weather and not so much rain, we'll probably get around— I'd like to see it somewhere around 300 or 250, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can fish everything. You can fish the meadows, the rips, everything, and all the good pools, and it would be perfect. But actually, one year we went down there, and they were running 700, the woolly buggers. There's 18, 20 of us that go, and we take the place over, pretty much.
Yeah, you
but
do.
But they don't take any fish, Paul. They put them all back, you know.
Yeah, they do.
Yes, they do. Yeah. They're very, very clean, very honest, and very polite.
Good lads. They're good lads.
They are good
lads.
Except
at the cribbage board.
Real good bunch. Yeah. I stay away from the cribbage board.
Yeah, we have a cribbage tournament and so forth, and I have another fly rod to give away this year. So, and Norm is the cook. He is the chief cook, and he could use some help. And I try every year to help him a little bit with dishes and so forth.
What are you making for a dish this time? Norm?
Oh, lately I've been doing barbecue chicken.
Barbecue chicken?
Barbecue chicken.
Barbecue chicken.
Corn on the cob or peas.
Oh, that sounds good.
Potatoes.
Yeah, I remember your chili. It was memorable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. I mean,
a lot of heat.
Yeah.
It depends on how much heat you—
I'm not very heat tolerant when it comes to—
and like Scotty, chili. Scotty, I mean, he probably thought it was pretty mild.
Oh, they all did. I'm the only one that had to call the fire department. Yeah. So anyway, that sounds good. Barbecue chicken. Good.
I'm going to bring all the salad.
Yeah.
Everything for the salad, too, as well. And I'll be making salads every day for the boys. And that's my job.
And you ought to stop in Ellsworth and buy one of Moo's cheesecakes. Have you heard of her?
Oh, yes, I know.
Oh, my goodness. We had my granddaughter graduated from the University of Maine yesterday, and part of the party was one of these strawberry cheesecakes that they make. What's her name? Moo? Is that her name?
The lady up on
Ellsworth. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And those cheesecakes are just fantastic.
It's impressive. Yes. I mean, she's really good. Plus, it's like an honor system, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You just go in, put your money in the can and pick up a cheesecake.
Yeah.
It's great.
I've yet to do that, but I promise myself I will.
They are so good. So good.
Well, we get a lot of pizzas. One guy, I guess it's, they buy pizzas at the store.
Jeremy.
Yeah. And he came back one day last year with a stack of pizzas, large, about a foot and a half high. And those were wiped out, I'll tell you that.
I bet.
But we have a lot of people bring casseroles. And like if Doc Thomas comes, he generally does the cooking in the morning.
It's a pretty good outing.
It's a lot of fun. We have an auction. We have a big auction because I have a lot of stuff to give away, and it's fun.
You know what one of the memories, the strangest things, one of the things that sticks with me in my woolly bugger experience was we were down to the final thing for the fly rod. It was between me and Greg Goodman. And Bob had this nice fly rod, and he's watching us over his shoulder, watching the cribbage game.
First,
it would start to go my way, and when it did, Bob would walk over and back of me with a fly rod. then it would turn, and it would start to go Greg's way. He'd walk behind Greg, and we had a fun time. And I finally won the rod, but I felt guilty. I almost gave it to him. I felt so
bad.
Was
that that little 7.5?
Yeah, I still have that.
Oh, boy. It's great trout rod, Well, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, a lot of memories. A
lot of memories.
Anything else going on?
Well, save it for next week.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate your fishing report.
You're entirely welcome. Glad to have the time.
And if you have a fishing tale you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear it. And if somebody wanted to call in and regale us with their fishing tale, Bob, What is the number?
1-800-966-1039.
Okay, and we're about ready to take our first break, but before we do, we are going to offer you a chance to win a subscription to the Northwood Sporting Journal worth $31.95. Mm. But first, in order to win that, you have to give us the correct answer to Bob's question.
And the question tonight is, what Maine fish has been referred to as alewop, googly, sawbelly, grayback, and Kennedy turkey?
Kennebec.
I thought Kennebec fit there pretty well.
Kennebec turkey. All right. You think about that at home. Ponder that. If you have the answer, give us a call, and we'll make sure you get a subscription to the journal. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back with Maine Outdoors, and Bob Lehman wants you to answer his question. And if you have the right question, we're going to award you with a one-year subscription to the Northwood Sporting Journal. And Bob wants to know, what's the real name for a goggle-eye, a sawbelly, a grayback, or a Kennebec turkey, or an LWOP? And we have a caller standing by, I think, don't we, Norm?
We do.
Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors.
Hey, Paul, it's Randy Poulton calling. How are you?
Hi, Randy. Good to hear from you. We're doing great, thank you. How you doing?
Well, we got back from Florida about a week ago, and fortunately I had firewood left for the wood stove, but we're doing fine.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, I came back from Florida the 14th of April, and every year Diane and I look at each other and say, why'd we come back so early?
Yeah.
That used to be our date, Paul. We're getting a little smarter as we get older.
Yeah, but there you go. There you go. What do you think?
I'm going to go sturgeon.
You say a sturgeon?
Yep.
All right, let's check with Judge Lehman, see what you think.
I'm sorry. That's not the correct answer.
Well, I can't wait to hear the correct answer. Thank you, Paul.
Okay, Randy. Thanks for calling. We appreciate it. All right, we're looking for an answer to the question. It is not a sturgeon.
No, it's not
a sturgeon. It is not a sturgeon. We have another caller?
Yes, you do.
The line is open. If you want to give us a call and try for an answer, we'll give you a subscription to the Northwood Sporting Journal worth $31.95. And we've got a whole bunch of slang names for this particular type of fish, and we want to know what it really is. They call it a goggle eye, a sawbelly, a grayback, and what you call a razorback?
Razorback.
A razorback.
Razorbelly.
A razorbelly.
Razorbelly. Because that, if you've seen nail-wise, you ever caught any, they have a razorbelly. And also, the first one you mentioned was okay. LWOP.
LWOP.
Yeah.
Okay. I think on that, we're probably going to get an answer.
Okay.
Let's see if somebody heard you, Bob.
Okay.
Give us a call if you think you know the answer. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors.
An alewife?
You think it's an alewife. Now, how did you know that?
I took a guess.
Well, it's a pretty good guess because you're correct, sir. Yeah. And thank you for calling in.
What's your first name?
Awesome. Okay. This is Jaden.
Where are you calling from, Jaden?
Corinna.
Okay. Did you hear what really happened? Did you hear Bob blow the question?
I didn't.
Oh, you didn't? Okay. Well, he gave it away, and I hit him over the head with a rotten banana, but he's okay.
They needed a hint out there.
You gave him a hint. You gave him the right answer.
A rotten banana, huh?
Yeah. Anyway, Jaden, you're the winner, and I'm glad you did it on your own without cheating.
He did very well.
Congratulations.
Excellent.
And thank you.
We're going to get you a subscription to the journal, and when we get through talking to you, we're going to ask you to hang on so Norm can, get your mailing address, okay?
Yep. Sounds good.
What else is going on with you, Jaden?
No, not much. I've been doing a little fishing lately.
Have you? What kind of fishing have you been doing?
Trying for trout, but catching smallmouth and a couple largemouth.
Yeah. A little early yet for trout, probably, huh?
Yeah, a few weeks.
Yeah.
You're catching bass this time of year?
Yeah, I caught about 3-pound bass up in Spasscook Lake last week.
Oh, no,
that's pretty good. What are you using for bait? Are you using lures or?
Yeah, MEPS.
Yeah. Okay. They're getting ready to spawn before long, I guess another month. So they're probably looking right now, perhaps, the big ones.
Yeah.
It was nice on ultralight rod.
Yeah. Are you a hunter, Jaden?
I am.
Yeah. Did you put in for a moose permit?
I haven't.
Yeah. You have until May 15th to do that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you apply last year?
No, I didn't.
No. Not interested in moose hunting?
Between work and family.
Yeah, too busy. Well,
yeah,
when you get older, you will. You'll have more time.
Hopefully so.
Yeah, how old are you, Jaden?
39.
Oh, just a kid. You got a long way to go, yeah.
Yeah.
You lucky guy. I'd like to have 60 years out in front of me like you do. You lucky guy. You want to count your blessings every day.
I do.
Yeah, good for you. Hey, nice to talk with you, Jaden, and you'll stay on the line. Norm's going to get all your vitals, all right?
Yep, thank you, guys.
And we appreciate you listening to the program more than you know.
Yep, awesome.
Okay, take care, guy. Good luck with the fishing. Yep.
Paul, I got a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you had your life to live over again, would you do it?
Would I do it?
Would you do it? If you could get your life to live over again, would you go back and do it?
Oh, absolutely.
You would?
Oh, absolutely.
All over again?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Would you change anything?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, a lot of things, yeah. I mean, I think anybody would, wouldn't they?
I talked to a friend of mine, Roger Wakefield, years ago about that, and he thought about it a while, and he said, no, I would not. He said, I'm so happy my whole life, and he said, I wouldn't change anything.
Well, yeah, there's a few things I'd change, but I mean, I have been so blessed with so many opportunities, good health, and greatest fishing and hunting I could imagine.
When you look back at all the things that the Lord has blessed you with, you know.
But the things I would have changed, I'd have changed some things. I think the way I treated some people I might have changed.
Yeah.
But as far as the things I've done, I've been blessed. It's been great.
Yes, you have.
That's an interesting question.
It is, isn't it?
I'll have to think about that. All right. Anyway, our guest tonight is, we're going to get hooked up with him any second now, I think. I think Norm's trying to reach him unless he's taking a call. Our guest is going to be Stu Bristol. He's a columnist and has been for many years for the Northwood Sporting Journal. He writes a column called South of the Kennebec. And Stu is a very knowledgeable. He's a former game warden from Vermont. And since he was a youngster, he's been deeply involved in turkeys, turkey restoration, turkey hunting. And he's become a very accomplished call maker. And he markets these. He makes all kinds of calls. And he's given me a couple of them, and I use them. And they are wonderful calls. And we're going to talk to him a little bit about all the different aspects of his turkey time in the woods. And I think Norm is busy right now because first he had to take we work Norm hard, don't
we? Yes,
we
do, don't we?
First he had to take Jaden's telephone.
He's overworked. We got to start paying him.
Yeah, we probably ought to get an assistant engineer to man those phones for him.
Yeah. Well,
anyway, he's going to get us hooked up with Stu, and we'll talk to him.
Yes. We've had two or three phone calls there too that he's been busy with. So
yes, he has, very busy.
Yeah.
Anyway, Stu sent me a picture of a 22-pound turkey that he bagged.
Oh,
it was day before yesterday.
That's a big turkey.
1.5-inch spurs and an 11-inch beard.
Oh man,
that's a big tongue.
You bet it is. That's big a tongue. Brute.
Yeah, and he knows all about it. He says it's a record. Well, it's a record. Yeah. You got him? Are you there, Stu?
I'm here, Paul. Good to hear from you.
Good evening. Good to hear from you, sir. And we've given you a tremendous buildup for the past 25 minutes. So I hope you realize that.
I haven't been listening, so I don't know what to tell.
Yeah, we gave you a big buildup. We told everybody where you're coming from and how deeply involved you've been in turkeys and turkey restoration and call making and hunting. And you bagged a beautiful bird a couple of days ago, huh?
Well, the third day of the season, I got a 22-pound.
Yeah. Before we start talking about turkey tactics and call making and all that, can you recount for our listeners a little bit about how did that work? How did you manage to bag that bird? How'd it go?
Well, it's one of my I say typical. I'm a woods hunter. You've heard me say it a bunch of times before and written about it. There are hunters that hunt in fields, and there are people who hunt in the woods. I believe a turkey is a wood creature, and I like to get back a mile or two in the woods, daylight or a little bit before, and owl hoot until I get a location, and then try to set up above the bird and no more than 100 yards closer. And I did that on a nice piece of property. It wasn't too high. It was probably a 400-foot elevation. You know, getting older, you know.
And, yeah, tell me about it.
I got about six birds to answer me. There were three or four jakes, and a couple of two-year-olds, and then there were two mature birds. So I listened and listened and listened for about 45 minutes so I could pinpoint where I thought the oldest bird was, and I made a closed the distance of probably 50 to 75 yards, and three other birds came right into me, probably 20 yards, and I passed on them because I knew that big bird was going to come in and chase him away, which he did, and that was his mistake.
Yeah.
And
did you have any decoys out?
No, I don't use. Well, you've heard me say it before. I'm not a big fan of decoys, other than in fields. They're very limited use.
Yeah.
It's just like I tell people. It's like the O-ring on a fishing lure. The O-ring's only on there because fishermen don't know how to tie knots.
Well, that's true enough.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I don't. If you buy a $200 decoy, it looks beautiful. You know, but you can't eat the decoy.
No.
And it's great if you're in a wide open space.
Yeah.
You're on a power line. You're on a
That's interesting. So you think in actual woods hunting, you don't really need a decoy?
No, I don't.
No.
I try to position myself where that tom has to poke his head up over a small rise.
Yeah.
We call these rolls or hummocks or whatever. So by the time I see him, it's too late for him.
Yeah. Let me ask you a couple of questions that came to mind immediately when you told about your setup. How can you tell which one is the oldest bird, the most mature bird? Do you tell by the gobble?
I can tell by the gobble.
Yeah.
If you get close enough, a lot of people don't pay attention. They're not new to the turkey, even some experienced turkey hunters. They don't get close enough so they can hear. Jakes will always yelp two or three times before they gobble.
They will.
So if you hear the little small yelps, you think it's a hen. It's actually it's a jake. Yep. If they gobble constantly, most likely it's a group of jakes.
Mm-hmm.
And if they gobble constantly and then one bird that makes the hair of your back of your neck stand up and all those jakes shut up, that's the bird you're after.
Okay. So that's how you tell. Another question. You used the term closing the distance. Now I've always thought and espoused the idea that you don't ever stalk a turkey. Is there a difference between closing the distance and stalking a turkey?
Yes, absolutely.
Explain.
Anytime you're moving, you're a target for other hunters. But because I'm deep in the woods, I don't think I've had interference from a hunter in 25, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
But still, every time that I'm standing up and moving, I have an orange hat on.
You do? Okay.
Turkeys can tell color, but it's just like picking up a skunk. If you do it carefully, you're not going to get sprayed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can move around with. I've shot turkeys in the past wearing a business suit.
That right? Yeah.
So you get into the camouflage. Yeah. You know, you don't need it. Your safety's more important.
Yeah. What's your preferred gun for a turkey? Use 12 gauge or 20 gauge?
I prefer 12 gauge, and I'm a big disbeliever of all this modern things, the $200 decoys and TSS tungsten loads.
Yeah.
I use one of the first turkey guns that were ever made specifically by Winchester for turkey. It's a model 1300 pump.
Yeah. You have it all choked down real good?
It comes with six chokes. I use an extra full choke that came with it.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I don't think I've taken probably 200 turkeys with that and a bunch of deer.
What's your max range for that load on a turkey?
Well, you know, I tried to tell people to shoot them 20, 30 yards.
Yeah.
I shot them out to 40, 45, but if I think it's too far, I won't shoot at it.
Yeah.
If it's running, I won't shoot at it.
Yeah.
If it's flying, I won't shoot.
Yeah.
So I let a lot of birds walk away and come back again.
Yeah. All right, we've got to take a short break here. We have these commercial breaks that keep getting in the way of things, but we got to do it, okay, Stu?
That's all right. Money.
And, all right, you stay on the line, and we'll be back. We've got dozens of questions to put to you. And folks at home, if you have a question for Stu Bristol, you can call in as well. We'll be right back. Still here, Stu?
I'm still here.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you hanging on. Quick question. I hunt with a 20-gauge pump, you know, with turkey loads. Do you think that's unethical?
Nope.
No.
I've killed a lot of birds with a 20-gauge.
Yeah.
Sure you have a full choke at least.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
You know, the Model 870 has aftermarket chokes that will make that extra full, and you can go out to 30, 40 yards easy without using the tungsten load.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yep. Go ahead.
That Tom that you bagged, did you have that Tom pretty much scouted out ahead of time? Did you know where he was going to be?
Nope. He actually came into a bird that I was already after.
Okay, so you knew there were birds in the area.
Yes. Talk about scouting for 1 second. I scout every day of the year.
Do you really?
I really get serious about it maybe the 1st of April.
Yeah.
I'm out every day for at least 3 hours.
Are you?
So that's the difference between, you know, just like deer hunters. If I had all the time in the world to deer hunt, I could shoot a lot of big bucks.
When you're scouting, say early April before the season opens, you're going to start walking through the woods. What's your scouting ritual? What do you do? Do you just call? You just walk around, look for scratches on the ground? What do you do?
A little bit of both. One thing I don't really look, you know, I don't look in the fields that much. I look in the woods to see if scratchings, droppings, feathers. I can pretty much tell where a bird's going to probably roost and where they'll come down to feed. And I do some calling. Everybody thinks that calling is a big no-no season, but I don't see any problem with that.
What kind of calling do you do when you're scouting?
Well, one important thing I can tell people on calling is it's not good enough to sound like a turkey. You got to become one. And my whole thing, as you've heard before, is I'm a play actor.
Right.
You know, I assume the roles of probably 100 different things during a turkey hunt. You know, crows, owls.
Mm-hmm.
So I will listen to see what the other things are happening. The crows will tell me where a bird is, chipmunks, blue jays. I just become part of the woods.
All right. Hey, we have a caller who may have a question for you. Let's take it. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors with Stu Bristol. Go ahead.
How are you doing today, guys?
Great. Well, great.
Who's calling, please?
This is Corey from Parkman.
Hey, Corey.
So my question is, guys, first, thanks for all the information. That's excellent, excellent stuff.
Mm.
But my question is, what can you do when when you go out on a turkey hunt and you can't get them to respond, just no goblins?
Well, that's common. You okay to answer now, Paul?
Yeah, go ahead.
That's common, especially early in the season. Remember, you're imitating a lovesick hen, and the natural order of things is the bird, the tom, will gobble, and he expects that hen to come to him. So if you don't come to him, then he's going to just shut up. If he comes down and he's with several hens, then he's going to shut up. He doesn't need to gobble anymore. So what I say is, if you get into that situation, go home, have a cup of coffee, stop at the diner, get some breakfast, go back out around 8:30, 9, 10 o'clock, and that bird will come running into you, probably.
Nice. Nice. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
So, but that big bird I just shot was at 11:30 in the morning.
Oh, is it that late?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've killed a lot of them late.
How long were you working that bird?
I've worked several birds before that one, but that one probably 45 minutes.
Yeah. Corey, are you an avid turkey hunter?
Yeah, I'd say. I go out every spring. I'm not very good at it, but I still go, right?
Yeah. Do you ever bag a turkey?
A couple, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And my daughter got one on Youth Day.
Yeah. What kind of call do you use? A mouth call or a box call? Slate call? What do you do?
Oh, I use a horseshoe nail call that a buddy of mine made for me, and a pot and peg call.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Well, Stu Bristol is a expert call maker. He makes some fantastic calls. He's made me a box call, which I have in my little pack at home and use it, and it's fantastic. And Stu, that's another question, Stu. You're a guy that makes these calls, and you could have a choice of a mouth call, which I have here, but I'm not going to, because I'd be embarrassed to try to make a call in front of you with my mouth call. But do you use a mouth call? Do you use a box call? Do you use a slate call? What's your preferred call?
Oh, my call, of course. But
yeah, I know that, but I mean, which one in particular?
No, I use a slate call, a box call occasionally when it's windy. I never use a mouth call anymore. They just build up with bacteria. They just makes my mouth dry. It's just not for me, but they work great.
You mean like that?
Yeah, they work great. And I make a new one, which is a combination of a scratch.
Yeah.
Old time scratch box call and a slate call.
So if it's windy, you go to a box call because it's louder?
It's louder.
Oh, okay. So if it was windless, very still, you'd like the subtlety of the slate call?
Yes, I always call just barely loud enough for a turkey can hear probably.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times better than us, but
is their hearing turkey hearing really is as good as they say, do you think?
It's better than what you think.
Is it really? Yeah.
Their eyesight, their hearing. So I would say go out with a slate call of some sort. A nail call is fine. If you can master it. My good friend Doug Herman is probably the master of that. I get a lot of high pitches off myself. So yeah. I make them, but I don't tell them.
Yeah.
But I'd say go out with a box call and a slate call. And learn what you have to do is every hunter needs to have a turkey vocabulary in his head.
Yeah.
If you don't know what a turkey sounds like, you get out in the woods and listen.
Listen, yeah.
A lot of hunters call to hear themselves.
Yeah. What kind of call do you use, Corey?
Oh, a nail call or a pot and peg there.
Mm-hmm. What's a nail call? Never heard of that.
It's a horseshoe nail driven into this, like, little cup that you hold in your palm, and then you scratch that on another, like, a piece of rock is what I think it's called. Marble or something?
Yeah, I use my nail calls, I use a sharpening stone. They give you a little crisper sound.
Yeah.
Nice. Mm.
Well, any other questions, Corey?
No, I'd say that's about it for tonight, guys.
Okay, well, good luck to you in the turkey woods.
Hey, thanks for your help, guys. You guys, whatever you do this summer, enjoy it, huh?
All right, you bet.
Thank you, Corey.
Thanks for calling.
Take care, guys.
Yep, good night.
Okay, so here's a question for you, Stu. Let's say that Reynolds walks into the woods, and he thinks he's seen turkeys before, and I sit down, and there's no sound. And I wait and I wait and I wait, don't hear anything. So I've got to make some sound. You never make a gobble, right? Is that considered to be dangerous? Is it always a hen call?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm a play actor.
Yep.
When it calls for a gobble, I use one, but you keep your head down.
Yeah. But if you were just probing the woods, so to speak, would you start with some little hen calls?
Sure. I'd start with only a few that... two or three series of yelps, wait 10, 15 minutes. People call way too much.
They do.
And it's just like if you call too much, then it's like having too much perfume or too much aftershave on. it alerts the animals all around you.
Turns them off, huh? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it wakes up the blue jays and the crows and the skunks, everybody.
Okay. We've got to take another short commercial break. When we come back, we'll have some time. Can you just give us a few calls when we come back?
If I can do it, well, I'll try to put this on speakerphone, see if you can do that.
Yeah, all right. We'll take a short break, and we'll be right back. And you folks at home, stay with us, and we'll be hearing more with Stu Bristol. What's the sport? General Appliance and Brewer, right?
You got it, General Appliance and Brewer. Have been one of our sponsors for many, many years now. Gosh, you said last week something like 30 years?
Yes, they have.
With the show, one of the main sponsors along with the Journal.
They're very loyal sponsors.
They've done well with their business as well, I'm sure. And they specialize in gas refrigerators, gas lights, gas mantles, gas freezers, gas ranges, and compost toilets.
Right of the wave, baby.
Thank you, Norman. And thank you, Jimmy Layton. So anyway, that's the place you want to go to shop. They also have electric appliances, a full line of electric appliances.
They do, yeah.
All the name brands, like Servelle and Gas and all these other name brands in electric appliances. And the big thing I think is that people should go there for is parts.
That's right.
P-A-R-T-S, mm-hmm. parts.
Yes.
And, you know, because you won't find that at the big box stores. You'll have to go to a place like General Appliance, and they'll show you where the part goes.
Yeah.
And how many you need, and they get a full supply of everything. Yep. So, anyway, General Appliance and Brewer, that's the place to go. They moved up the street, up to the corner now on Center Street and Brewer. And their phone number, Paul, is?
987-314. No, 989-3714.
Ah, correct, sir.
Okay, right off the top
Give
of my
that
head.
Give man
gone.
A cigar.
Yeah, okay. General Appliance and Brewer, we urge you to patronize them as we do.
Yeah.
And remember, they've been sponsoring this show for almost 30 years, mm-hmm. and they are loyal advertisers.
They certainly are.
Are you still there, Mr. Bristol?
I'm here.
What I want to ask you to do, for the folks at home and for me, because I like to listen to what you can do here, can you give us... you're sitting by a tree, Reynolds is in the woods, and you're sitting in a tree, and things are really quiet, it's not too windy, and you want to kind of make a little noise. Show us what you would kind of noise you'd make, okay?
Speakerphone, but it's not very loud, so let's see if you can do this. This is just a clock, it's just a simple note. And then a basic hen yelp is two or three notes. You hear that okay?
Yeah, I hear it good. So that last one was just a hen, a relaxed hen?
Just a hen. And if a hen gets really excited and wants the gobbler to take him away from other hens, you know, the hens get possessive, just like women.
Oh, do they really? I didn't realize that.
Well, a lot of hunters curse the hens because if you call too loudly and too often, that old hen's going to take that gobbler right down the ridge on you and go right away from you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you get a bit, just tactical, yeah.
But an excited hen, you know, the more cutting and cackling, it sounds like this.
Oh, she's in love, I can tell.
Yeah. Do they have such thing as a mating call?
That's what that is right there.
That's the mating call right there.
I would say so.
Yeah.
That is. That.
Yeah.
Can you do that on your box for you?
Yeah.
That little cedar call I made for you can do that really good.
Yeah. So if you're probing, like I call probing the woods for something, you wouldn't start out with an excited hen. You just do a regular, like a purring hen?
Yeah, you just put them in a... And a purr is more like... well, you're old enough to have real blackboards in a classroom where you... It really aggravate the teacher by scraping the fingernails across the floor, you know.
Oh, that's good. Did you do that? That was with the box calls, too?
That was actually one of my pot. That was a pot call.
Box call, yeah. That was good. Yeah.
And that's what you use when you want, they're close, and... the last thing I use is I don't know if you've seen these push-pull calls. I make one that clips onto your end of your gun.
Yeah, I have one that you made for me that I have on my 20 gauge. Yeah.
Right. So they can just the last minute. Can just...
Yes. Yeah. That's so your hands are free when you're ready to shoot. Yeah. Great.
Yep, that works good.
Okay, if somebody, before we run out of time here, if somebody wants to find your calls, what is your website?
It's deadlyimposter.com, deadlyimpostergamecalls.com.
deadlyimpostergamecalls.com.
Right, that's where I get the deadly imposter is me. I'm a fake, I'm a fraud. I pretend to be somebody I'm not. I'm a play actor.
Yeah.
That's how I came up with deadly imposter.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you really have to, I think to be successful, you have to really get immersed in it, don't you?
It's like anything. If you know, I tried playing golf and I end up more hit a ball, drink a beer, hit a ball, throw it out of the woods. So if you're going to get in turkey hunting, it's like fly fishing. Either you're going to get sucked in and become an expert and, you know, fanatical about it.
Yeah.
Or you're just going to say, okay, it's like a deer hunt. I'll go out and I'll shoot 3 rounds a couple of days before deer season, and I'll sit in the woods. If I shoot one, I'm happy.
Yeah. We have another caller. Let's take it. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors with Stu Bristol. Go ahead.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Stu, I agree with you about the scouting. I figure I have to locate at least 10 or 12 toms before I can kill 2. You take youth day, other hunters, predators. So it does make a difference. And have you ever used a wing bone call? I make quite a few of the wing bone calls, and I've learned how to use them, and they sound excellent.
Well, I used to make wing bone calls back in the 70s. That's how old I am.
It's a lot of work.
Then I realized how hard it is to use them. And my good friend, Uncle Pete Wentworth, down the road here from me in Sanford, he probably makes some of the top calls in the country. He just made a couple of calls for Donald Trump Jr. and the guy that owns Bass Pro. He's that level of call builder.
Yeah.
So, yes, I've used wing bones that work great if you can master them.
And I agree about being able to tell the different gobbles between Jake's mature. When one gobbles and he'll rock the boss, you know that's a big boy. It doesn't happen overnight. It's taken me 30 years. But
one other point on the wing bone, over the years, like 60 years of turkey hunting, if you can get a fall juvenile hen, a Jenny wing bone, those are the best. They're worth every penny you got to pay for them.
Is that because the bones are more dense?
The bones are softer. They give a higher yelp. They're more seductive. Most of the wing bones today are sold that are gobblers or jakes, and they have too loud a call.
Caller?
Caller? Yes.
How do you cook your turkey?
My wife parboils them, which takes the juice from the water into the breast, browns them, but wraps them in bacon to keep them a little bit of oil and moist in them.
Yeah.
But even the grouse and the woodcock, we do the same thing.
Do you? Yeah.
Cook it, it's dry.
Yeah.
You parboil them, 2/3 cook them that way. They'll actually increase in size.
Yeah.
The meat itself, because it's taking in the juice.
Yeah. All
and
right.
And then brown them.
Yeah.
I like them very well.
Yeah. I like turkey. We deep-fried one time. It's pretty good. We're almost up against the clock, callers. I appreciate your call. Thanks for calling.
All right, thank you.
You bet. Good luck to you in the turkey woods. You still there, Stu?
I'm still here.
Yeah. Anything else you want to share with us before we close down here? We've got about 30 seconds, I think.
Okay. I just said on that cooking, don't waste the turkey. In the fall, I shoot the little ones. I put them right in a crock pot. You got another call.
Yeah, no, I think we're just about out of time. You put them. You like the crock pot way to cook them, huh?
I do, and I never waste any part of a turkey, feathers, anything.
Yeah, yeah. We're up against it, Stu. I appreciate you being with us tonight. You've done a great job, and thank you for all the great columns you write in the journal. We appreciate it.
Very interesting show,
yeah.
Paul. Very nice.
All right. Thank you, Stu.
Thank you soon.
Okay, and next week our guest is going to be Ron Greco, who's going to tell us about an organization called Moose Kids.
That'd be interesting.
They will. Yeah. And we'll see you all next week right here on
Maine Outdoors.